Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Emily Winicky and I'm the Community Engagement Coordinator here at Syracuse University. I would like to begin, as we do with all Syracuse University events, by acknowledging with respect the Onondaga Nation, firekeepers of the Haudenosaunee, the indigenous people on whose ancestral lands Syracuse University now stands. I am now honored to introduce this morning's speaker, Gregorio Jimenez. Gregorio Jimenez was named the executive director of the Near West Side Initiative in 2018 after the organization had gone through some significant changes. The organization was looking for a leader in the community to not only support, but to invest in. Mr. Jimenez is a West Side native that came up through the Syracuse City School District, graduated from Fowler High School, and then graduated from Onondaga Community College with an associate's degree in business administration. Gregorio decided to continue his education and attended SUNY Oswego, which resulted in a bachelor's in business administration. At the age of 28 years old, Gregorio is one of the youngest minority Latino executive directors in Central New York. He has the passion for helping others, and his love for his community is clear through his actions. Gregorio is dedicated to paving the way for community members and creating opportunities for people to increase their quality of life. He has a special place in his heart for youth and takes an opportunity to mentor youth in the community and support positive programming that exposes youth to new things. He has spent several years working with youth and brings that perspective to his current role. Gregorio's approach and leadership ability has already affected the community in such a positive way that several community members have started to get engaged and support the mission of the Near West Side Initiative. Gregorio believes not only in investing in the community, but investing and working with community members to make the West Side the best side for everyone. Please join me in welcoming Gregorio.
So, good morning on this beautiful day that we have today. Just start by introducing, we are the Near West Side Initiative. You know, Emily gave a wonderful introduction for me, so I'll go ahead and let my staff introduce himself as well.
Yeah, so my name is Keith Tyson. I'll be the Director of Operations with the Near West Side Initiative. So I oversee all operational things that happen behind the scenes, so that's what I do.
Tell me a little bit about your background.
Oh yeah, so I also went to SUNY Oswego, graduated with a bachelor's degree. Me and Gregorio met while we were over at school. As I went on to becoming a program supervisor for Elmer Scissor Center, then after that, I was looking for something, opportunity new, and Gregorio offered me this position and ended up put me into this type of role. And since then, we've been rolling on for about a month or so now and getting things together.
Yeah. And I know it looks like this organization is run by a bunch of young guys, but he's amazing, brought him on, really, you know, picked up on the work that we've had fairly quickly, and just, you know, he's been with us for about a month now, and he's been doing amazing and just really helping the workflow of the organization go. So, you know, we just want to thank Keith for that. I'll start off by talking a little bit about the history of the Near West Side Initiative. We started up, I believe, in 2009 as a community engagement project out of SU. It started when Nancy Cantor was the chancellor at SU. Their mission before was to combine the power of art, technology, and innovation to revitalize the Near West Side. And they pretty much did that in several different ways. They redeveloped the Case Supply Building. We had the Lincoln Supply Building as well, and also Salt Quarters, which is now our new home. We actually used to be up on the fourth floor. Yep, we actually used to be housed right on the fourth floor out of here as well. As you guys know, that, you know, you're once, you know, Syracuse University was pretty much the umbrella of the organization. When they switched chancellors, we pretty much, there was necessary changes that needed to be made. So we ended up becoming our own 501c3, and the organization was turned over to the community, which has always been the vision of the program for when it started with SU, was to hand this organization over to the community and let it run by community members and, you know, leaders in the community, which, you know, they did a pretty good job of seeing that through. And those changes pretty much happened in 2015. 2019, they hired myself as a leader from within the community to pretty much, you know, carry on the vision of the Near West Side Initiative. And, you know, I've been in my position for about a year now, and, you know, I'm keeping my head above water and crossing my finger to make sure that, you know, we keep that we do as much as we can to kind of provide for the community. After, you know, the switch and stuff, we made a few transitions. We changed our mission. We changed, you know, pretty much our branding of the organization. And our new mission right now is just to serve in partnership with the community to support and sustain a strong, dynamic neighborhood that enhances the quality of living for those who work, learn, play, and sleep in Syracuse's West Side neighborhood. We want to emphasize the work, learn, play, and sleep because you're part of the community whether you live there or not. If you come into the community, you work here, you play here, you're part of the community. And like, you know, we say West Side is the best side because I truly believe that, you know, the relationships in the neighborhood that we have are more closely together than any other side of town. This is my personal opinion, so, you know, I won't take that. But, you know, and it really just starts with, you know, like, people are more together in that side of the neighborhood. You know, we have the Spanish culture, which is real family-oriented. You know, we have a lot of minorities, but everyone's kind of closely impacted, and this is the most concentrated neighborhood that we pretty much have for, you know, most of our low income is close to each other. So, you know, it's pretty much everyone's kind of close together. Everyone knows each other. I've been, you know, pretty much walking through the neighborhood since I was like 13 years old. So I know pretty much everyone in the neighborhood, you know. So it was good kind of putting me in this role to bring that connection back to the neighborhood. And then just, you know, some of the aspects that we have as an organization is we focus on the redevelopment and revitalization in the neighborhood. Some of our most recent projects are the Salt Space, which is our performance space in the Case Supply Building. We received a grant from Senator DeFrancisco for about $1.5 million to kind of see this project through. During the time, a lot of smaller arts organizations were coming to him looking for a home. And he wanted to give this funding that he had available to a trusted organization to kind of pretty much see that through. So, you know, with us, we took on the funding, but we didn't want to just focus on just the smaller organizations that needed home. We also wanted to make this space accessible and affordable for community members as well. We've had several events go on at Salt Space, from baby showers, artist showcase. We've had church ceremonies. We've had you can name anything you can think of. We do it, and the space was built with versatility, and love. But it was really built with versatility. So we have 150 seating in our black box studio, but all the seating you can remove. The stage is removable. You can change the dynamics of it. You can have, you know, no stage. You can have a smaller stage, a larger stage. You can even make a runway for, you know, fashion shows as well. So we also have a dance studio in this space as well, where we have different dance organizations come in and you pretty much use our space, rent it out, teach classes. We have a membership model that we like to go off to kind of pretty much sustain our space, where we're able to have up to 6 members in our space. Each member gets about 40 hours a month in the space. They get shared office space and shared storage space. And right now we have 2 members. One is the Deviant Dance Tribe. And we pretty much just opened back in April of last year. So, you know, we're just in the beginning phases of trying to build our members and really find those members that are really can utilize the space and kind of see our mission through. But we have two members. One is the Deviant Dance Tribe. So she pretty much teaches affordable dance classes, fitness dance classes, and brings in different instructors from out of town, different professionals, to come in and kind of work with community members at affordable rate. Our other member is, we're actually in the works of getting them. She does sound therapy. I'm still trying to learn a little bit more about it. But I heard, you know, it's something pretty cool. It's really relaxing, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Soothe you and keep you relaxed, to use the vibration of sound to soothe you and keep you mentally stable. So
Yeah, so that's our second member. We're still looking to, you know, fill our membership models out. My vision is I'd like to see a really diverse group of members in our space, and they all come together, you know, and bring their efforts together and kind of put on something for the community once a year. Our next project is Performance Park. So we had a vacant lot pretty much next to the Case Supply building, as you all are aware. And you know, with the expansion of what we were doing in the Case Supply building, there was a need for parking. But instead of just changing this vacant space into a parking lot, we wanted to be able to give some community benefit to it and offer them something as well. So instead of just, you know, creating an entirely parking lot, we wanted to incorporate, we wanted to expand pretty much from our indoor performance space and offer outdoor performance space accessible to the community and just pretty much open. And so if you see kind of over here, this is some of the construction photos that we have from above. This right here will be a drop stage. So the stage is just dropped below, and then the seating will be set up here. The completion of this project is actually mid this week. The only thing that's left to do is to install the benches into our seating area as well. But then we also had funding from TCI to put in some workout aspect to be able to offer the community. And that way we just focus a little bit more on health, performance, play, and just, purchase. Because we also have in our parking spaces, there's electricity, which is powered by a solar panel to make us a net zero site. And we pretty much are able, with the outlets in the park, we're able to offer food cart events, farmers markets, which we look to do once spring hits. Let's see. We'll move forward. And I'll let Keith take over and talk about some of our community events.
So some of the annual community events that we do, as stated by Gregorio, are here is the Halloween party. One, we collaborate with Take Back the Streets, which is and other service providers around the West Side community. And with that, we create a more safe Halloween experience for kids around the neighborhood. We give them a chance that don't have travel, easy accessible travel expenses or ways to get candy or things like that. We make it a central place for them to come to, have some fun, shut it down at a good time so they're not out about in the neighborhood. With that also, we do a trunk or treat, right? We do a trunk or treat where we would park the cars out back in the parking lot, and the kids would be able to go into the trunks and be able to pick candy from there. And the different service providers will provide the candy for that type of thing too. And also, we are going to be set up a haunted house throughout the Salt Space area for the kids to go through, to go all the way around, and we have a system for that also.
Yeah. So last year we did it at Blodgett School. But now that we actually have Salt Space, we figured that we kind of activate the space, get community members a little more familiar with the space, and bring them in there so that way, you know, and it's, you know, we can offer the space for free to be able to do these events as well. So it's pretty cool to be able to move it over there this year. So.
And another event that we do is the Community Thanksgiving Dinner, which will be coming up pretty soon also. Mary Alice Smothers is a lady that usually ran it, but due to her illness, we will be taking over for her to make sure that it continues on in her name. There we are able to bring all the residents from the neighborhood to a central place, and they are able to provide food and create more of a community involvement with everybody. We're going to collaborate with Boys and Girls Club this year, and we will be able to do a talent show also while the dinner is going on, so then it'll give the kids the opportunity, you know, to showcase their talents, this type of thing. So, again, that's another way to keep everybody together, keep the community involved, show that what we're doing is positive and keep the West Side strong and alive.
Yeah, and this dinner is actually ran by residents, pretty mostly residents, with the support of different service providers. Mary Alice Smother, many of you may know, she's a strong advocate of the West Side community, which is considered a big leader. Unfortunately, this year, this past January, she had a stroke. So she's, you know, not really in good condition to pretty much see it through. But we wanted to make sure that we continued her efforts because she she went wholeheartedly into putting this on for the community every year. So we just want to be able to continue to see that through. Last year, we fed over 200 people. We had so many donations of treats and food that we ended up taking some of the food. What's the homeless shelter called? So we ended up taking pretty much the rest of the food back to the homeless shelter. So food didn't go to waste. And, you know, they were able to eat some of this good food as well. So,
Again, so some more events that happen in this office that we try to utilize to the community. We have one that's called the Men's Conference. So with the Men's Conference, it brings together a minority of men to be able to talk about different struggles and disadvantages that they have throughout society, and also to tackle masculinity and things like that. So it brings a space where men can be more open with each other and talk about different type of things that they go through and don't feel judged or have any type of criticism on what they're doing. Another thing that we do is also the annual talent show. So we have about 40 different performances going on throughout that time, and people are able, different residents, different community members able to come in, showcase their talents, another way for them to showcase, you know, to show that what they're doing in the West Side is valuable. So to showcase their talent also, and during that time, we also do award show and give out different awards to community members based on what their involvement in the community has been.
The categories that we pretty much had this year were, we continue to go on with those categories. One was a lifelong commitment award. So we just wanted to recognize someone in the community that, you know, is dedicated and just set, you know, a lifelong time to really advocate for the community and doing and giving back to the community. Our second award was a Community Courage Award, which just is just somebody who's kind of endured a lot in the community, but uses their courage to kind of advocate and kind of show different community members that this is actually our award recipient right here for the Community Courage Award. Mother Earth, if you know her, amazing woman. Her story, we could talk about that all day. Yeah. And then another award was just kind of a young leader award. So we wanted to recognize a young leader in the world. We feel as though they don't get recognized as often because they're new into the game. And we wanted to be able to recognize them and award them so that that way they can continue their efforts to being a leader in the community. And then because we're a performing arts space, we also had an Arts Achievement Award. And this is just somebody that uses the arts pretty much to help benefit the community and make it accessible. This year's recipient was Dominique Dawkins, which she runs she has her dance studio right now on the street on West Fayette Street, and she does so many amazing things. She participates in so many community events that we have free of charge. So, I'm sorry. Yeah, so, and it was just amazing time. We had over 40 local talents perform throughout the day. We had over 600 people come in and out throughout the day. And it was just an amazing day. It was magic in the air all day. And then another aspect to our organization is we like to oversee and help support and assist in community-led projects. So a couple of ways that we've done that so far this year is we actually provided a fiscal sponsorship for La Joven Guardia. It's a bilingual youth theater group. We pretty much are supporting them. They're a community group, really didn't have a home. They didn't have any financials to really keep their program going. So we wanted to be able to save them. And we pretty much became their fiscal sponsor and gave them a space to practice out of. And kind of the leader of this group is Jose Miguel, some of you may know. And he's amazing with the kids. And we just wanted to support him and continue to see his program go on. So we offer this space free of charge, just so that way he can continue his efforts. So he's been going about 20 years uncompensated for his efforts. So we wanted to be able to support him as much as possible. And it just goes along with our mission. Another program that's a community-led project, which I'll let Mother Earth come up and speak about, is the Good Vibe Youth Hair Salon. She can definitely tell you better than I can, but you know, I wanted to be able to bring some of those community members that we work with today. to be able to speak about their actual program. So come on up here, Mother.
So this project was created in my head a few months back. I have a granddaughter who is 14, and she had got into some trouble in school. And instead of me really scolding her, I just wanted to talk to her about her talent. I wanted to pour into her talented side, so I didn't scold her in that way. I just talked to her about the amazing work she does with hair, how young she is, how great she'll be in the future, and that I wanted to provide a space for her to have that salon effect that I'm feeling right now, to be able to showcase what she can do that has nothing to do with chemicals. And I also wanted to make a space for not just her, but other youth. So create a program where they'll have a makeshift type of salon setting. They'll have some things that they can work with. Mannequins, different from different ethnic backgrounds. Want them to research to find out where these hair strands come from. Bring in professionals. I have an older son. He is 31 years old. He owns a salon here in Syracuse called Good Vibes. He allowed me to use the name. So I'll be bringing him and other professional hairstylists in to showcase different things that they may not know. And just to provide a space for them to also do homework, work out of workbooks, and provide a place where they can kind of congregate, kind of curve the bullying between the young ladies with the social media drama, stuff like that. So that's basically what sparked me to come up with the program. And also, I was a young lady who had to take care of my own hair at the age of 9. And for some reason, that hair energy carried on throughout all my children. So I just wanted to highlight these youth. Right now, I didn't want to put them in a situation where they got to wait till they get to an adult age to pay for all that cosmetology time and stuff like that. So just wanted them to be able to showcase their talent right now. We need to start recognizing these young people now. And we got to stop putting money in front of their success. You know, as adults, everything is about money. Some things have to be just about time and creating a space and let the money work itself out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mother Earth.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Yeah. And then, you know, just I want to bring up another community member just to kind of show you guys a little bit more about what our community-led project is. And this, the Good Vibes Hair Salon is actually going to be ran out of the Salt Quarter space, but then we'll be activating this community-led project at Salt Space. So I'll bring up Eddie Jones. He can speak a little bit about the Cypher competitions.
How y'all doing today? Yeah, I'm Eddie Jones. I knew Gregorio for over a decade. I've been living on the West Side for a little bit longer than a decade. I've been making music for longer than a decade too. So, so I understand exactly like the artist form of like, you know, wanting to do things to show your talent and showcase yourself. So what I wanted to create was like basically a showcase, but a friendly competition where the artists can, you know, write their music, you know, get in contact with people that make beats for music and all that type of stuff, and be able to come together and actually work on stuff and be able to make a show out of it. So I've been thinking about this for a very, very long time. And then after, you know, G getting this position, Gregory getting this position, it just came to me like, oh, you know, this might be able to help me and benefit all of the people around, because I know it's a lot of artists like me are having like financial problems, not able to get the spot to be able to showcase our talents and stuff. So I knew like, I know that he would be able to help me with that. So that's what I, you know, ran to.
Thank you. And yeah, and with the Cypher battles, Eddie pretty much came out to me looking for, you know, a platform to let some of our local artists in the neighborhood express themselves. hip hop and music is big in our neighborhoods, and it's just a way that some of our residents deal with some of their trauma that they face in the everyday situations that happen in our neighborhood. And, you know, I just wanted to be able to support that because we are entering into the performing arts world, and it is a big need to bring that music and culture into the community and not have everything be so negative. I just want to thank Eddie for coming to me with this idea and being able to kind of help see him through with it. And just really, you know, we're there to support him, you know, set him up to get the right resources to kind of see it through, you know, meet with the right people. We partner with Subcat Studio, who's going to offer free studio time for the winners of the competition. We've partnered with WCNY, who's looking to do artist profiles for the winners of the competition. We also are looking to kind of create some of those partnerships to be able to offer different incentives to help support the artists in their business of music, you know. So we want to be able to kind of keep pushing them forward and offer them different incentives. What else? So yeah, the Cypher competition, I'm really looking forward to that as well. Another community-led project that we do is we participate in Community Impact Team, which is part of our Take Back the Streets. Take Back the Streets has two sides of it. The Community Impact Team, which is a group of community individuals that come together once a month, or, you know, sometimes more frequently, to kind of recognize the needs that we have in the community. On the other side of that, we have our Take Back the Streets, the service provider side, where they pretty much take what those needs are, and then we come together as a group of different service providers in the neighborhood to see how we can pretty much support some of these concerns or needs in the community. Some of our recent projects were, I don't know if any of you drove down West Fayette or West Onondaga and seen the West Side signs. So the reason why we wanted to do that was just to create a sense of pride in the neighborhood. You know, when, you know, you go into other different neighborhoods like Skunk City or, you know, Eastwood, you'll see the signs and stuff. And we wanted to be able to offer that and to our community members as well, so that way, you know, It feels good, you know. You walk in like, oh, we got our own sign. So, and we've had so much community support. It was all led by community members who helped pick the design, help manage the budget for it, and it was just an amazing project. Another project that we do with our community impact team is we do pop-up play events. So we activate spaces that aren't really activated in the neighborhood. We go to different parks that aren't being utilized, or different vacant lots, or, you know, just places where, you know, there is kids in the neighborhood, and we want to just be able to activate them with those spaces, so kids kind of get a little more comfortable with coming there, and, you know, and even bringing the kids together to meet each other in a fun, friendly way. Another thing that we do is movie nights. We have a big blow-up screen with a projector that we go out and, you know, offer movie nights to some of the kids in the neighborhood. You know, because I feel like it's important. As you guys know, as she said before, like, my passion is with the youth. I've worked with youth for about 10 years now. And, you know, I just really believe that we mold our future generation, that we'll see a better world in the future. So, you know, just being able to offer these things and bring these kids together, keep them occupied so they're not steering in the wrong direction, doing the wrong things, and just being around different community members to be able to show them that there is other things to do besides what they see every day. So I'll open it up to anyone if you guys have any questions. You know, apologize the brief. The brief presentation, but, you know, if you have any questions, feel free to ask.
What is your source of money to run the organization, and how long will it be available?
Do you want to talk about that?
Speak on that. So part of my job also, I do property management. So we also own about six buildings that we are sole control of. We have about 27 residential tenants and 6 commercial tenants. So through that, we are able to fund, you know, these events and keep us sustainable, you know, with paying our own bills. So we have 10-year leases and annual leases with our residential tenants. So we're also looking into expand and buying more properties so we continue to grow on our revenue. So that's how we say sustainable.
So are you managing those properties or are you
own them? So we own them.
Own and manage.
And manage. So I am the property manager. We also contracted out a maintenance janitorial guy. So I'm like the middleman between the tenants and management and the commercial tenants and the janitorial. So I'm just the middle guy in between everything, make sure everything gets done for everybody. So
yeah.
You're welcome.
And we also get assistance from our partners and different foundations to kind of support a lot of our community events as well. The Community Foundation, the Gifford Foundation, the Allen Foundation. The Allen Foundation actually funded my position for this first year so that way we can create a sustainability model. Because during the transition, there was a time period where there wasn't an executive director. Pretty much had a working board, a property manager, a property developer, and they pretty much carried out to see the organization through. It became, it became tough on our board of directors, and that disconnect from the neighborhood started to happen because we weren't as active in the neighborhood. We were trying to just maintain operations. So now, being that they hired an executive director for the position, we're able to get back into the community. We've hired from within the community, we actually have a landscaper who we helped start his business. He always had the skill, worked for a different landscaping company, but we wanted to be able to empower him and push him forward and enhance his quality of living. So we pretty much helped him start his own landscaping business, and we gave him the contract. We allowed him to bid for the contract, and he came back with one of the best bids, and just being familiar with some of the work he did, we were able to see him through with that contract.
Thank you, both of you young men. I'm very impressed by this presentation. I hope there are many more of you in and around our neighborhood. Several years ago, I was involved with the Near West Side Business Initiative, and since then, it's been dormant for several years when Chancellor Cantor had left her position. I was wondering if there is any talk of bringing back that organization. There were probably 25 to 30 businesses that were involved in that. Fairly active in helping solve some of the issues on that Near West Side, and they were great business partners to have. So if it's not being talked about, I would encourage you guys to lead that conversation.
Yeah. So basically right now, we, like you mentioned, we do have a partnership with a lot of the service providers, more of the nonprofit side in the community. We do look forward to kind of getting back into the business aspect, with getting King of Kings involved, Stern Pharma. It's just been a transition, a pretty rough transition. I've been in the position for a year, so it's just trying to make our way back to that and really get the workflow of everything down pat so that way we can look to expand even more.
The Salt Quarter space had a gallery at one time. Is that still functioning? Do you still?
So we actually have the gallery, but because we moved more to the performing arts side, it hasn't been as active as for the visual arts. That is something that I was looking to do, but at the time we were approached by Jose Miguel. We do have the Salt Space, but unfortunately that doesn't fit with his schedule to be able to commit to a membership. So we actually provided the Salt Quarter space to be able to use that as office space, but also practice space as well. But it's something I'm definitely looking to do. Yeah.
So Dennis, there is community gallery space here at the warehouse. Right now it's activated with a project from the Pell Literacy Program, which is a combination SU and school district. There are five other exhibits that are totally community-based planned for the space right across the hall.
Yeah. And we don't want to duplicate services as well, so we'd rather partner with SU to be able to, or even pass along individuals that's looking to do that to SU as well. So
if people want to go to a pop-up show or other activities, do you notify people on Facebook, or do you send out a note to people? How do you get your word out?
Oh, yeah. So right now, we're actually, our website is under construction. With the transition, we kind of lost the domain to our website. So now we're kind of starting from scratch. And, you know, we really want to build it around what our organization is right now. But other than that, we do have social media. We get a lot of reaction from social media through my personal one, but also through the Near West Side Initiative one. We also have a Salt Space Facebook as well, where, you know, if you're interested in booking Salt Space, that you can pretty much go to the website and, you know, get all the information. We actually, she creeped in a little late, but this is our theater consultant, so she pretty much runs the operations to Salt Space, and she can answer any question that you guys have as far as with Salt Space. She manages the booking. Yeah, sure.
Does it all.
Sorry, guys, I had to get my kid on the bus. It's early. I'm Melissa Gardner. I'm sorry I missed what's earlier, so I'm not sure what they told you about Salt Space already. I've been helping the New West Side Initiative get it up and running, get systems going, streamlining stuff. We have a booking system. I have a bunch of brochures I left at the table. You can grab it. It has all our contact information. I'm developing a database of contacts, which we're sending out. We're going to be sending out blasts to once we have regular programming in this space. We're currently recruiting members. What that means, originally the need for a space like Salt Space was presented by multiple smaller performing arts organizations that were looking for a home. They're like working out of church basements or libraries or wherever. We created this space with that in mind. We wanted it to be versatile and sort of like a co-works shared space for smaller performing arts organizations. So we're currently looking for performing arts organizations that may best fit the model, and we're, you know, creating flexible options for that. We currently have a dance fitness group in there, a sound healing group. We just added a youth cheer group. And so there's two different main spaces that can be booked. It's a black box, 150 seat, and also a studio rehearsal space. And we also have been doing several single time events and community events, and also have flexible models for that in order to support our mission. But yeah, if you do have any questions about Salt Space, please reach out to me. I'll hang out a little bit afterwards. So.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry. We do have an event coming up. It's an open house. If you or anyone you know might be interested in calling Salt Space home for your programs, classes, performing arts, or even otherwise, we're open-minded to whatever could fit in that space. We have an open house event coming up on November 17th. It's a Sunday from 2 to 6. So do come by. We're going to have a lot of things activated in this space at that time. So I hope you could make it.
And just to finish up with your question, so pretty much social media, but we also email blast as well and send it out to anybody that's kind of pretty much on our emailing list. And if you guys want to provide us with your email after this, I'll be able to add you to that as well. Any other questions?
What I love about your model, this is by the community, for all within the community. For someone who doesn't live, work, or play in the community, what do you need the most from people from outside? Come enjoy the space, donate the space, give you whatever. How can people who don't live in the community support the Near West Side Initiative?
Well, the first thing that I ask, if you are coming from outside the community and coming into the community, that you come with an open mind. You come trying to understand the people in the community, understand the dynamics of what they deal with on a day-to-day basis, and just kind of, you know, just take that wholeheartedly. Different ways that you can get involved, like with our events, we always open it up for different sponsors to be able to provide different volunteer groups. So if anyone volunteer for our Thanksgiving dinner, we get so many groups that volunteer. One big group that volunteers is the Junior League, if any of you are familiar with. They bring about 20 ladies out every year to help out with the event. They provide treats, so they're wonderful. We also, with our block party, where we get almost 1,500 people to come out every year for this block party, we provide bounce houses, we provide you know, different food vendors. And then we bring out all of our nonprofit organizations and literacy, health, and just different community-based organizations. They come out, you know, make their services aware to the community, so that way, you know, they're a little more comfortable with those organizations, and it breaks that barrier of trust. Because in our community, it takes a lot for our people to trust. And that's kind of a big reason of why I really wanted to step into this role. You know, I have a lot of relationships with community members. They trust me, and I want to be able to break that barrier. Like, come on, guys. Like, this stuff is all here for you. You know, let's do it. You know, you can trust it. I was sitting right in your position, you know, just last week. And now, you know, I'm getting involved. My quality of living is much higher than it was. So, you know, the same things can happen for you as well, too. So.
I'm interested actually in the property management side of the house.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's a brilliant model for revenue generation, but is it also part of the mission in terms of rehabbing the environment, right? Taking properties safe from the land bank and turning them into usable, livable space?
Yeah, so we obviously focus on, you know, creating a better environment for the community. So yeah, we look for buildings that might need some renovating, some type of upkeep. As far as the land base, we don't reach too far out, right, to different land bank houses. But we also have to think about revenue costs and how much the turnover would be, because we're a very low nonprofit organization. So, but yeah, we like 216 Tully is a house that we renovated over and created into that coordinated. What is it called? Pieces actually is in right now. So yeah, so we turn over different residential properties also.
And lately, we've been doing a lot. We've been supporting the Peacemaking Center in the city, doing kitchen table talks around conversations for housing. So just doing our research on housing to be able to figure out what that need is and where, compared to other different organizations, where do we fit in to kind of help fill that missing void. Home Headquarters does a wonderful job, which is an amazing partner with us. We also have a shared service agreement where they kind of pretty much handle our payroll because we're such a small staffed organization. And they do the home ownership and teaching people how to, you know, be homeowners and giving out home loans and stuff. So they're amazing. So we're trying to figure out how do we not duplicate what they're doing. And we find that void that's missing. And doing that just through going through our research, talking with different residents, seeing what their needs are, and being able to act on that. So a big thing that came up is the vacant properties, you know, some things to do. I had a conversation the other day just hanging out in the neighborhood where there was two different properties, a vacant lot. The conversation started up where there's little kids in the neighborhood, which Eddie can talk about as well. Little kids in the neighborhood, they're kind of, you know, they all hang out, they're roaming the streets, you know, going in different people's yards and stuff, hanging on their trees, breaking the trees. Sometimes they get in trouble, you know, but what they wanted to see, which it was like about 15 people pretty much in that I was speaking to at that time, they was like, you know, we'd like to see a park there to keep these kids occupied and stuff. So just knowing those kind of things, being active in the neighborhood and understanding what those needs are, makes it a lot easier for us to be able to provide the community what is needed. Because we don't want to come in and just tell the community what they need. We want to be able to offer the community what they actually need.
Thanks. I'm thrilled with this presentation on so many levels. So thank you. I want to go back to Pam's question, which you answered, Gregorio, in a great way, giving examples of, for want of a better word, do good kinds of things that mm-hmm. people can do. Mm-hmm. But I also want to say the Salt Space is an amazing arts venue mm-hmm. that people don't know about yet. Mm-hmm. No. So Melissa talked about what you can do with the database. This woman plays an amazing trombone.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a show that was, it lifted people out of their seats at Salt Space. That kind of thing and others that I've been to, I've looked around the room and too many empty seats. Mm-hmm. So you need to get the word out more.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
On sessions like this, a gentle suggestion, bring a sign-up sheet for people to put their emails on mm-hmm. because they need to know about what's going on mm-hmm. down here. in, those seats need to be filled.
Oh, I definitely
bring in great stuff.
I definitely agree with you. And that's something that we commonly hear with our events. You know, as our construction team likes to say, that the space was built with love. So, you know, and just all our events that we pretty much have there, people kind of come in there and they feel this energy that as it was created for love and the purpose, and they can see the purpose that it's for. So I'm glad that you said that as well. But I'm also happy that you've been to Soul Space as well. You're aware of it. And we do have a bunch of amazing things going on there. And we are working 10 times hard to pretty much market it better and you know, let people become more aware of it, which is part of the reason why I'm here today as well. So,
how big is your staff?
our full-time staff is me and this young guy, so you know, a bunch of young kids running this organization. But then we also have Melissa, who's our theater director. We get a lot of community support through volunteers, Mother Earth, Eddie Jones, and then we also have who led our projects, we had a property developer, Dan Query, who pretty much overseed a lot of our projects through the and during that time where we didn't have an executive director or staff. So, you know, so we're doing this with, you know, we're trying to juggle everything and build capacity at the same time, but still get out there and, you know, be active in the community. So we have a lot of sleepless nights.
Yeah, it's a process.
A lot of sleepless nights. You know, I think for the past month, we're in the office till about 9, 10 p.m. every night. Just planning, trying to get stuff done, and, you know, just being strategic and talking everything through. So.
Hi, my name is Jim Clinton. I know this is on the radio. I'm white. During the summer, I had a great tan. Now I'm white again. But I'm part of the white flight from the city. My parents moved from Buffalo, came to Syracuse, lived in Westvale. I took a bus to CBA through the city. Everybody said, Jim, stay away from the west side. So for probably 30 years, I did. Now, finally, I go to church now down in St. Lucie's on Gifford Street. It's a great church, great community, some of the best people you want to meet. Mm-hmm. I also do Meals on Wheels, and I find people are the same in DeWitt, Fayetteville, as they are in the west side, mm-hmm. near west side. And I got to say that if you're looking for something, I'm pretty comfortable in DeWitt. Don't have much to do, retired. So I do Meals on Wheels, and I find it's a great place to spend energy. The people are great. And there is an energy in the Near West Side that I think is great. And I commend you for bringing up the fact that we're all the same. Mm-hmm. There's no difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
and
thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, and and one thing we are big on, we, as he mentioned, we have 27 residential apartments. Those are all market rate apartments. We didn't want to create more low-income housing, and we wanted to create a mixed-income neighborhood where we bring different individuals from outside the neighborhood into the neighborhood, getting familiar with the neighborhood, understanding the people in the neighborhood, and really breaking that barrier. Like you said, you know, you've been out there for 30 years. If we can get people over here to get a little more comfortable, you know, they can understand the community better. So thank you. Thank you for talking about it.
All right, please join me in thanking
you. Thank you.